Good to see you all out tonight. We're going to be reading from the fourth Psalm, so if you have your Bible handy, let's go ahead and open together to Psalm 4. We'll be reading together from this Psalm. We have safety, we often feel, when we are in a what we feel or perceive as a secure place. It might be at home when there's a storm. It might be in a certain country when war breaks out because you feel secure in your country. But in terms of the Christian life, when we as God's people talk about security, there's security in one place, and that is in Christ. That is in the hands of God. That's where you can be secure and have no doubts, no worries, no uncertainties whatsoever. And David here speaks concerning safety with God, where the reality is few people in our world today put their faith and trust in God at all times. But in this particular psalm, David begins with a call that he expresses in verse 1, where he says, "Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You have relieved me in my distress. Have mercy on me and hear my prayer." David calls upon God, who is in reality, for anyone who has righteousness, the source of righteousness. Because you can only be righteous in God. It's not of yourself. We can't attain it by ourselves, but we can only be accounted as righteous when we turn to God and we're cleansed by the blood of our Savior, Jesus Christ. David, of course, lived under a different dispensation, but he found again, like we do, righteousness only through God. And he recalls the past aid that God had given to him. And of course, mercy, favor, pity are sought from God. He says, "Grant my petition." He longs for God to hear him. And in fact, we need more and more throughout our lives to have that kind of dependency, to realize God is always there. God is always ready to help us. If troublesome times come, we ought to be thinking in terms of God and his help. When there are good times and everything is great, we need to be thinking about God and his help and the gratitude we should be expressing to him each and every day at all times. And David then, after his call to God in verse 1, gives counsel. And he speaks to those, notice who they're referred to as, the sons of men. These would be the unrighteous, those who don't look to God, those who don't fear and respect him. So in verses 2 down through verse 5, here is his counsel that he gives to those who need to turn to God. "How long, O you sons of men, will you turn my glory to shame?" Who is the glory of David? Well, my glory that David speaks about, if you look back in the previous psalm, and verse 3, David had said, "You, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory, and the one who lifts up my head." David gloried in God. It was something that to him he could glory in because here was the one he relied upon, the one who never failed him, the one who held him up and was always with him. He gloried in the one who he could trust in fully, unlike human beings who will often fail us. But David's confidence in God was seen many times in his life. How confident are we in God? And when we talk about certainty and security and a desire to show the world in whom we trust and give an example to those who need to turn to him, do we demonstrate by our living that our full confidence is in God and how we live and the choices that we make, our decisions on a day-to-day basis? Why, he asks these individuals, why do you pursue self-destructive ways? He says, "How long will you love worthlessness and seek falsehood?" Vanity or worthlessness, many people in this life give themselves to things in the end don't amount to anything. They're not important. But people will focus on them, give their lives to the pursuit of them. And in the end, those things cannot save them, cannot bring them lasting happiness in life. There are many things that people see as the source for them of meaning and purpose. But the Bible reveals that so many of these things are in fact a waste of our time. And in fact, some seek after falsehood. It's a tragedy, but it's true that many find gratification or a sense of meaning, putting their trust in things that are actually lies and falsehood, because those falsehoods, those lies, are perceived or believed by the majority. And so they feel a sense of belonging when they stand with most people. It may be untrue, it may be a lie, but hey, I'm with everybody else and I've got good company with me here. It may be that the lie, the falsehood, enables them to maintain certain practices that they enjoy, and therefore they continue in these falsehoods. But to those sons of men who seek after and love, as he says, worthlessness or seek falsehood, David pleads with them. And he points out in verse 3, know that the Lord has set apart for himself him who is godly. The Lord will hear when I call him. The only way to have true security, and David knows in whom one must trust, that is God himself. Righteousness is highly esteemed by God, and David was assured based upon his living that God would hear him. Any of us can know this very hour whether or not God will listen to us, whether he'll hear our prayers. Are we walking in righteousness? Do we fear God? Are we seeking to keep his commandments? Are we walking in the grace of God? If so, we have no doubt whatsoever that if we lift up our petitions to heaven, God will hear. But if I'm walking in sin, I'm living an ungodly life, am I being a hypocrite in the world today, then I should not expect God to hear or answer my prayers. But you can have confidence, as David certainly did, based on his living, that he was right with God. He pleads and he counsels these sons of men in verse 4, be angry and do not sin. Meditate within your heart on your bed and be still. Sometimes, in fact, many times, anger leads to sin. We would do well to heed the words of counsel that David here gives, because many times when the emotions are stirred up, wrath is kindled, oftentimes before we exercise control and self-restraint, we proceed with words, we proceed with actions that then are sinful by their nature. David's thought is, take a moment and think. Meditate upon your bed, he says. Give thought to what you're about to do. Don't act hastily. In James 1, verse 19, so then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. In verse 5, then, David says, offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. God knows that if we, in fact, will lift up to him what he truly values, not that the sacrifices of the Old Testament were insignificant to God, but what God was really focused upon was the kind of heart that was then lifting up those sacrifices to him. Ungodly, wicked individuals, individuals whose worship offered to God was vain, was not sincere, was not worship acceptable to him. So he's looking for a kind of heart. And we have such expressions in the 51st Psalm, verses 16 and 17, where the Spirit through the psalmist says, for you do not desire sacrifice, or else I would give it. You do not delight in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. What we offer to God must be offered certainly in the proper spirit, the right disposition of heart, with humility, with sincerity, with a righteous life backing it up. And then, of course, in truth, that is, it's according to the will of God. Trust is to be placed in God and in nothing else. This is his plea to the sons of men. And these words we would do well to heed as well. The counsel of David, who cried out to God. Tonight, as you reflect upon your own living, who is it that you put your trust in? Who do you lean upon? Do you feel secure? What do you base your security upon? Only the Lord can give us security that is lasting, cannot be taken away. And the redemption, the forgiveness of sins that we long for, can only be found in Christ Jesus, whose blood is the remedy for the sin that stains the souls of men. You can access that blood by by turning to Christ in faith, believing He is God's Son, and having a remorseful heart that turns away from the practice of sin. Initially, inwardly, that determination is made, and then outwardly, the commitment to alter our conduct is seriously pursued. We change our ways. Confession of our faith in God is also taught in the Scriptures. It's part of God's plan for our redemption, that we must acknowledge our belief, and then, based upon what we have believed and the faith that it has moved us to demonstrate, we would also do what? Be immersed, because it's commanded. We're to be baptized for what reason? Acts 2 and verse 38, for the remission of sins, so that the transgressions that are defiling our souls can be cleansed forevermore to be forgotten by God. Do you have that forgiveness? You can make a decision tonight to change your future by turning to God for this hope that we've talked about tonight. But if you are a child of God already redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, the key thing is to continually, day by day, walk with Him, to remember that as one who is called by the name Christian, a learner of or a follower of Jesus Christ, we must live according to the reality of what that name means and truly follow Him. If you've forsaken Him, if you've fallen away from a faithful walk with the Lord, you know He's ready to receive you back, and He will. And if you'll come to Him at this point in time, we'll be happy to help you as we stand and as we sing.